So how is the U.S. tour going so far? It seems like it's pretty hectic, pretty good.
It's pretty hectic and pretty short.
Yeah.
Would have loved that once we are all set and know what we're doing, then we start playing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we will be there, it'll be over.
Yeah. So you have a couple of more after this one?
We have four or five more. Mm-hmm. I don't remember very well.
Where's your favorite place so far that you've done on the tour today, that you've gotten the best?
Well, they all had different successful characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was the crowd that made us have a really fun show.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Chicago. It was good and we played well. Then last night it was in New York. It was more, we rocked more, and it was more powerful, even though we made 100,000 mistakes. And then, what else did we do? Boston, Cambridge.
Oh, Cambridge, yeah.
Was your first one, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was good, too.
In Cambridge?
Yeah. And then the first one, that was in Minneapolis, that was cool, but it was a seated venue, and so the energy is totally different.
Yeah, they're standing watching instead of like getting in.
Yes, it's like you need to drag them more a little bit, like you need to work more on stage. Or at least is a feel that I have.
Now, that kind of leads me to the next one. What's the biggest difference that you find between American audiences and because you've been doing a lot of touring.
Yeah.
What's the biggest difference that you find between the American audiences and the rest of the world?
At the beginning, I thought the American audience was the warmest audience of all. But then something happened in Argentina, and now Argentina's the best audience.
Of course, obviously.
I don't know. No, it's
no,
not
really?
That obvious. No, because it took me 15 years to get that audience in Argentina.
Because you were a comedian beforehand, and that's how people kind of knew you.
And now there's something happened, and I know that many big artists that go to Argentina, they always talk about the warmth of our audience. And I am starting to feel that now. That, I don't know, it's new.
It only took a certain amount of albums for that to happen.
A certain amount of albums, time, years, and suffer. How do you say? There's another word. And pain.
A lot of struggle for it.
Yeah.
Compare your studio experience with the live show, since we're still kind of comparing.
It's totally different, because when I'm in the studio composing, mm-hmm. to use a really big word, recording,
mm-hmm.
I'm in a completely different mood, and I am in totally open to what's happening, and there's no thought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any preconceived ideas of what I'm going to do. Maybe just, okay, I would like to avoid this or that, but not, I have some no's, but I don't have any yes, as ideas. Because I'd rather be surprised by, I don't know, some new sounds, mm-hmm. or some new ideas that just come and I follow along. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's like if I weren't there when I'm doing the record, I just let things happen.
Just let it flow.
It takes me a few, maybe a couple of weeks to get into that kind of tunnel that I dive in. At the beginning, I'm a little bit distracted, a phone call, or I just don't have the impulse or the inertia to keep going. But then once I start building something, then little by little I'm totally into it, and the feel is as when you are reading a book that you really like, that you open it and you don't see the book. You see the story,
mm-hmm.
and the images the story gives you. So that's the way it is while I'm composing. Then, after the record's done, I need to figure out how to play that record.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a learning experience.
Yes. What did I do here? And sometimes I honestly don't know what I did, and I don't even know what's the tuning of the guitar. And if I didn't have the bright idea of recording what I did separately or with an image or just take a note, sometimes it takes me, but how on earth did I play this? And sometimes you know your fingers and you know, I mean, you found the the notes, mm-hmm. but you know you didn't play it like that. So, well, so you need to figure out what you played, how did you play it, and then what is essential to the song and what needs to to be left off or away or out, mm-hmm. left out from the song, and to make everything in a way that you still have the song mm-hmm. being that song.
And I may imagine there's a great deal of improvisation in that you would do live, just because it's a different sound than
yes,
when you're sitting.
You mean the improvisation live?
Mm-hmm. It's different.
There's improvisation at the beginning, but many of the songs, after a few tours or mm-hmm. shows or a certain amount of plays, mm-hmm. they find their final form.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them. Mm-hmm. Some others keep changing. Not much, though, but little things that keep changing and changing. Some others, they become a thing. Mm-hmm. And this thing is this square with this ball on top and these two arrows going inside. And
perfect.
That's the shape. Well, it's a mechanical thing that you need to learn. For some reason, this record has been harder than the others to learn.
Well, this record seems to me to have a lot of darker, richer sound. I mean, not richer, but like a darker... It's
that's weird.
Darker sounds for me. I mean, your music...
No, because I find this record is much more bright.
Uh-huh.
It's a brighter record than... Not because if it's... Not in the sense of being brilliant.
Uh-huh.
But I find even... That's why the cover of the record is brighter. Because I thought it was like a very...
Yeah, yeah, compared to like some of the other ones where it's just like smeared, yeah.
And even the sounds, everything, I think the previous records are much darker, but...
Okay.
But I like that you find that different.
The sounds are more alarming, and I mean, they're always really groovy to me, you know, and just
yeah.
really great, and I like the way they open up. But to me, it seems like some of the songs are really... Some of the sound bites that you use are really alarming, and I like that, because
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of sound is like... It's a little bit... Sounds a little more aggressive, almost, in a way, and maybe, I guess,
happier. Yes, maybe more aggressive, mm-hmm. but definitely, to me, is a lighter... not a lighter... Brighter
mm-hmm.
album. It's not. That's well. The reason why I used golden and blue colors mm-hmm. is because I thought that the darker covers of the previous records didn't fit with the music.
Mm. Well, that brought me to the Beach Up
Yes.
Who's in the video? The era.
Well, that's pretty dark.
Yes,
you're right. Yes.
But I love it because I just kind of wanted to know how you kind of became inspired by the Beach Up Pong.
The Beach Up Pong is something really silly. We had that picture in the record. I don't know if you've seen the actual cover.
I do have it.
Okay, so that picture was just a picture of me wearing a blue dress,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't like the picture. But Alejandro, the guy that works with me for all the covers of other records, he wanted to use that picture, and I didn't like it. I was wrapped in plastic,
mm-hmm.
and it looked awful. It wasn't even funny. It was horrible. So he said, okay, let me use the picture, because he liked very much the light. And he said, yeah, but you need to do something about that face. I don't want to show up. I don't want to be on the picture. And so he just cut in Photoshop the shape of the hair and copied the blue of the dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just made two holes where my real eyes were.
Uh-huh.
And copy one eye, and we're starting to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh, because it was an alive thing. It had already a story.
Yeah.
You knew everything about that creature.
It reminded me of like Asian horror, almost like some Asian kind of character.
Well, exactly. When we saw it, we hadn't thought about it in previously,
mm-hmm.
but when we saw it made and finished like that, it reminded me of a film by Abhi Chabong, Vera Setakul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beast. It's called My Uncle Bonomi That Could Remember His
okay.
Previous Lives, or something like that. I don't know the name in English.
Is it Japanese, or is it...
It's Thailandese.
Okay, okay.
Apit Chapong.
Okay.
There is a creature in the woods with two eyes like that, and it reminded me of that. That's why we call it bicho in Spanish, means creature or beast. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called Bi Chapong, because of the name of the guy and the name. And then I knew that that guy got inspired by very, very cheap TV shows, mm-hmm. where in order the creatures, the animals they made for children were so badly made, mm-hmm. That they were in the dark. So for the children to understand that they were things that were alive, they put two bright eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Two lights. So the children could more or less know that was
because we see with our eyes mostly, and that's the most connection that people feel.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah. They were, mm-hmm. these creatures in the dark with these bright eyes, and so well, that's the whole story.
And then
about
terrifying
the
and scary. Right?
Yes.
So your video has been pretty successful. People have been really, they love the music, of course, and then they really like the way the video was shot for this.
I think it's well shot too.
It's a really groovy and interesting. How long did it take you guys to shoot that?
Or? 2 days.
2 days?
Yes.
Excellent. A lot of this kind of stuff going on?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. What's the most memorable live performance you've had, and why?
Oof. I have many for different reasons. Mm. The most moving one for me was the first time I was playing a free show in Argentina. At the time where people just didn't come to see my shows. And it was in a very huge venue. I mean, to me, it was a huge venue. It was for 800 people. But there was lots of space around the seats. And it's a cultural thing where people just give $1. It's like a symbolic fee or a price for the ticket. And while I was sound checking, I asked the people. I saw in the middle of the room there were huge curtains that they could shut. I said, "Can we just put the curtains so people feel a little more
intimate with the
not so loose in the room, mm-hmm. like one here, one over there?" Because I thought, as usual, there were going to be 40 or 60 people in an 800 venue. And then I was in the dressing room, and my friend says, "Do you see that queue over there? That's for you." "Yeah, right." And then I got into the room, and we couldn't start because people didn't stop coming, and we had to wait. And it was an 800 seated place, but we had 1,200 people there that night.
Nice.
Sitting all over the place.
Out in the halls.
everywhere, yeah. Everywhere, the stairs, the ramps, the corridors, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And I started to sing, and I had the feeling that I could reach everybody's, something that I never felt again, mm-hmm. and it was, I couldn't understand what was happening, and it was the same as close as you and, mm-hmm. I,
and with 1,200 people out there,
yes, yeah. And in a very large place with very high ceilings, and I just couldn't believe it, and the sound was great, and then Alejandro, the one that makes
the video,
the
covers,
mm-hmm. he made lights, and everything was really dark, just with some moving lights, so people could see me sometimes, not all the time, mm-hmm. and I remember needing light to find my patches in the keyboard, and that was, I think, the best show I ever had. Because something had happened, and I don't know what that was.
It seems like it really touched you, which is beautiful.
I don't know, people that, some of the people that used to come to the previous show, they were a bit angry. You know when you discover an artist,
yeah.
and you're the owner of
yes,
the artist,
absolutely.
And then he becomes more a little, mm-hmm. bigger, and then, what? You didn't like her before. I am the owner, blah, 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 yeah, that kind of thing. So I knew that there were people saying that. A friend told me that. They were like, what? What is all these people? We used to be 30.
Now we're 1,200. It's like exponentially gone higher.
Yeah, and well, that was one of them. And then the return last year with What 21, that we were playing all together. And that was the first time in my career that people knew the lyrics of the whole album. And all the songs we played, people were singing along.
Do you find this probably a level up, a bigger step now, or do you? It's hard to tell.
Sometimes it's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell because in some levels, like in press and that, it's I think I've got more something. Mm-hmm. But then it's not that I'm playing bigger venues or having. I mean, it's. I don't know.
Maybe Madison Square Garden.
Exactly. Maybe I need to still wait that I'm, I don't know, 80 or 90. And then
what are you listening to right now? What do you have?
I don't listen too much.
Really?
No. That's something really embarrassing every time I get this question.
That's really interesting, though, yeah.
It's embarrassing because I know there's 100 trillion excellent things, and I don't get to know them. Just by laziness, for a start. And maybe because I have got to a point where I really need to be in silence.
I really like that because there's a kind of situation in music today that people are so want to sound like somebody else that for you to say that you are kind of isolated and that's how you record yourself and everything, that's really an interesting thing because you're coming from an isolationist, like almost a Walden or Walden Pond was a existentialist that spent a lot of times in the woods by himself. So it's kind of isolated from the rest of society is how he wrote about nature and things. So I think that in that kind of way, I wouldn't feel too bad about it. It sounds really interesting.
No, because it sounds a little bit too full of yourself. Well, I don't listen to anything. Everything sucks. And it's not that at all, because sometimes people show me things. Oh, this is great. And then I forgot the name. I forgot to go back and look for it. I forget to go towards them again. But I can mention a band that I saw live and I loved, and then saw a few videos on YouTube. That's Buke and Gaze. Mm-hmm. And well, I don't know, that band is really, there's some, they're a bit intense. Mm-hmm. Because when you press stop, it's like
it's exhausting.
It's exhausting, but they're really great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're going to tour the world still. I think you're touring through the summer from what I saw on your schedule.
Yes.
Then what's afterwards? What are you going to do?
I hope, I would like to make another record.
I hope so.
I hope I can start this year. I don't know.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Super.
As I said, it's something about inertia that if I'm doing something, I keep doing that thing. And if I'm not doing anything, I just keep not doing anything.
So. My mom said, she's like, use it or lose it. Which is kind of, I mean, she said that.
That's
about
a shorter way to say what I just explained.
No, her arthritis. She was talking about her arthritis.
Oh, okay.
It's like, better use it or lose it. So that's one of the things. Okay, I think that's good. That's more than 5 minutes,
Thank you.
Is terrific. If you could just say who you are and then this.
Yes. W-R-I-R. That's so difficult. W-R-I-R. That's a tough one. W-R-I-R.
W-R-I-R.
W-R-I-R. W-R-I-R 93.3. 97.3. W-R-I-R 97.3 Richmond.
Yes. And then you say your name.
So, okay.
So you say this, I'm Juana Molina, this is... And you're listening to W-R-I-R.
Hello. I'm Juana Molina, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 Richmond.
Awesome.